Hey everybody, this is Chris. Welcome to Renewing the Center. It is good to have you join us here on the podcast. Today we're going to be continuing our series on the questions God asks. This has been really fun for me. I hope it's been edifying and encouraging in your own life with God. And so we're just going to keep this thing going for a little while. Today we're going to be in the last chapter of Jonah 4, and we're going to consider a question God asked two times in the same chapter. He asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And Jonah's an amazing story. Probably at some point in the future of the podcast, I'm going to do a four-episode short series on Jonah, because I think it's actually a really interesting and fascinating book of the Bible, one that's oftentimes overlooked or worse, relegated to a children's story. This is anything but a children's story. So we're going to look at Jonah for the next little bit of time here today with a desire to hold the question, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? So let me read. I'm going to read essentially the whole fourth chapter, and then we'll pray, and then we're just going to spend a little bit of time holding that question God asks. "But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' And the Lord said, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' And then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. Second time he says, 'I want to die.' And the Lord again says, or Jonah says rather, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' And again, 'But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush?' And he said, 'Yes, angry enough to die.' And then the Lord said, 'You're concerned about the bush for which you did not labor, in which you did not grow. It came into being in a night, and it perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Y'all, that's how the story of Jonah ends. That's it. It's over. I'm just going to read the last sentence so you can hear how it ends. It ends as a cliffhanger. We don't know how Jonah responds. God says, "And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" In the Jewish device, there's meant to be a dot, dot, dot. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to hold the questions you ask. I pray also that we would hold the sort of unfinished nature of this story. God, we don't know how Jonah responds. We don't know if he stays stuck in his anger or if he moves through his anger and sees what you have for him. God, we pray that you would help us to hold the question you ask, the questions that you ask Jonah, Lord, and we pray that we would hear the same questions come to us at critical junctures as we live our lives before you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So today is not necessarily God saying, "What right have you to be angry? Therefore, you should never be angry." I believe that the question Jonah is asked twice by God at the very end of this story are questions that come after a cumulative process. If Jonah teaches us anything, the story itself, four chapters, really short story, you could read it in about 10 minutes. It teaches us what happens when we become stuck. Jonah's stuck. A brief recap. God asked Jonah, who is a prophet, to go to Nineveh and to declare that judgment would come to Nineveh unless they repent. Jonah does not want to do that. So he goes in the opposite direction. He runs to Tarshish, which is like the Rock of Gibraltar, an exotic port of call. It's like God asks you to go to some coal mining town and you say, I'm going to go to the beach. Like, I want to go somewhere really comfortable and nice. I want to go far, far away from where that hard job would be. And then the story tells us rather fantastically that God in flight, God arrests Jonah's process, that a fish swallows him up, gets him back on track. He decides to go to Nineveh. He preaches against Nineveh. Nineveh, rather than hardening, which is what Jonah, I think, thought they would do, they repent. And so our story picks up with this saying, this was very displeasing to Jonah. The thing that was displeasing to Jonah is that God is extending mercy to his sworn enemies. God's being kind to the Ninevites. And Jonah doesn't like the Ninevites. He doesn't trust them. He has good reason not to like them. He sees them as wicked, as bad. And he's actually kind of hoping that God's going to rain down hellfire and brimstone on them. And a part of Jonah's story here is that his expectations and God's expectations are now diverging. They're not matching. And you may not be a prophet being called to preach against a city, but all of us at one point or another in our lives have moments where our expectations diverge from what God is doing or the way circumstances are unfolding in a way that causes us to feel very disoriented. Now, for some of us, the reaction to that is anger. That is the case for me. I actually need to hear the Lord ask me, have you a right to be angry? But for others of you, it may not be anger. It may be something else. You may get stuck in places of self-pity or fatalism. I don't know what your story is. I want you to try to insert what that thing is for you into this story. Just, you know, replace it with anger if that's not your jam. But for many of us, anger is what happens when our will is opposed. For many of us, anger is what is expressed when we feel disoriented, disillusioned, sad. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's usually the kind of like hot take response that occurs when we feel really disoriented, disappointed, or sad. God is not here asking a question, is it right for you to be angry, and therefore implying you should never be angry. The story of Jonah, if anything, is a story about what it means to be stuck in an emotion that moves us away from clarity and reality. Jonah is very stuck. By the end of this story, he has doubled down. He is feeling sorry for himself. He has found himself a spot outside of town, sits down, and is waiting for God to destroy this city. And God doesn't do it. The Lord is kind. He extends mercy to Jonah's enemy. And Jonah is freaking out about it. And I think the invitation for us in the question, is it right for you to be angry, is an invitation to look at the parts of our lives, the places in our lives where we tend to get stuck in a negative emotion, self-pity, fatalism, cynicism, anger. And what the Lord is trying to do for Jonah is to bump him back on track. He's trying to get him properly aligned. And what Jonah's unable to do is he's unable to express and experience the proper emotion, even when God is using him. I mean, the proper emotion for Jonah at this point, at the end of the story, should be joy and jubilation because the Lord has led the Ninevites to repentance, but he is stuck and unable to express proper emotion. And so what the Lord does in this moment is he allows Jonah to experience tension and frustration as an invitation for him to reevaluate his life. And so what I want to say to you and to myself is that the Lord will oftentimes use seasons of pressure as an invitation for us to reevaluate the places where we're stuck. So Jonah tells the Lord two times, actually, in this very short chapter, he tells the Lord, I want to die. He is experiencing a kind of self-pity. He's experiencing a kind of hyperbolic reaction to not getting his way. And each and every one of us, if we're honest, there are times when we don't get what we want or life is going in a direction that we don't like, where we are prone to self-pity. We're prone to childish expressions. I mean, Jonah is acting like a child right now. I mean, he is plopped down. He is sitting. He is feeling sorry for himself. He is in an absolute downward spiral. And one of the things that I've learned is that negative emotion, if you don't hold it and face it, will sometimes become entrenched and cause us to lose perspective. And so I want to be really clear here. I don't think the Lord would have been upset with Jonah if he had said, I feel angry because this has not turned out like I thought it was going to turn out. And I'm just really freaked out about it, God, but help me see things from your perspective. If Jonah had moved through his anger, I don't think the Lord would have done and said the things that he said about his rights. Jonah's stuck. And there are probably places in your life, I know there are places in my life, parts of me that are stuck. So does God cut Jonah off when he's stuck? Does he disqualify him? Nope. He bears with him. He appoints a bush to comfort him. And I just love it. The Lord God appointed a bush. He made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head. And it says, so Jonah was very happy about the bush. One of the challenges Jonah has, even in the provision of God, even as God is hanging with him, is that Jonah becomes too happy about the temporal need to experience a release of pressure and comfort. So when the shade comes, Jonah is too happy about his need and his desire and his experience of comfort. God's providing for him, and yet Jonah now feels that God owed him the plant. He's like, I deserve this plant because my life is so hard. I'm entitled to good things because things are so frustrating and difficult. And I think there are probably places in your life and mine where we struggle, where even the kindness of God, even the provision of God, we believe somehow we're entitled to it. So what does God do with that plant he provides? He sends a worm, and the worm kills the plant, and Jonah wants to die. It's the second time in the chapter he says he wants to die. I mean, this is, it's like the text is screaming, I'm stuck. And I just want you to think about your life. Where are you stuck? Where are even the kindnesses of God, the mercies of God experienced by you as entitlement? And then when they fade, like the unpredictable plant over Jonah's head, we just want to die. Jonah hits rock bottom. And then God asks him again. He says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And instead of saying, I am angry about the plant, but I know that I'm overreacting. What does Jonah do? He says, yes, I'm angry enough to die. Jonah loses perspective. His view of reality is off kilter. He overreacts. He overinterprets the significance of circumstances, all indicating that he's stuck. And so the questions that God asks here around Jonah's anger are not a kind of you're not allowed to be angry. The questions that God is asking Jonah, and I think the questions he's asking you and me around our expression of extreme negative emotion, whatever those negative emotions are, they are an invitation for us to examine the places where we're stuck and get moving again. And over the course of this short story, four chapters, Jonah gets stuck and the Lord gets him moving. Jonah gets stuck and the Lord gets him moving. We'll probably go back to this at some point in the future where we'll do a four-part series on the podcast. But here's the way the story ends. It literally ends with God saying, there are like a bunch of people here who don't know their left hand from their right and a lot of animals. The end. But actually, the story ends kind of with an ellipsis, a dot, dot, dot. It's a very Jewish story. It's a Jewish story that actually doesn't give you the resolution that you might desire. Like, we don't know how Jonah reacts. We don't know whether he continues to persist in his anger. We don't know whether he relents and says, you know, God, I am stuck in a negative emotion and I need your help. I'm sorry. And the reason for that is that the writers did not want to resolve it because they wanted us to find ourselves in Jonah. They wanted us to actually look inside and ask the question, am I willing to name the places where I'm stuck? And begin to vulnerably, humbly, obediently move through those stuck places into places of movement and receptivity. I think Jonah has the potential to do it. He did it earlier in the story of Jonah, and now the Lord's asking him to do it again. But more importantly, for our purposes today, I believe there's an invitation for us to hear the Lord pose the question, is it right for you to be stuck? I.e., would you move with me? Would you admit the confusion? Would you admit the pain? Would you admit the places where you're stuck and be willing to surrender to my leadership, to move through that place to a place of more settled reality. What an invitation. At the end of the day, God's inviting Jonah to get up. He's not asking him to fix the past. He's not asking him to sort of wave a magic wand over his past bad behavior. He's just saying, would you get up and come down off this hill with me and move forward? And I believe the Lord asks the very same thing of each and every one of us at various junctures as we walk through life. God bless you. Go in peace. Let's hold this question before the Lord today. Amen. Amen.